It's August 30th, 2009. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is George Shillington, your host today for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University, a university of the Church for the world. Let us pray. Lord, prepare us for your service. Let us come before you with eager and humble hearts and disciplined minds. Cleanse us, enlighten us, bind us together in love, obedience, and faithfulness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That was I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace, sung by the CMU Associate Professor Henrietta Schellenberg. Our theme for today is the promise of life. The scripture text is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 30, and our speaker is Dr. Gerald Gerbrandt, president of CMU.
Is the book of Deuteronomy an optimistic book? Or is it a pessimistic book? A good case can be made for both. Consider first the pessimistic verdict. Deuteronomy is the instruction of Moses at the border of the Promised Land, just before Israel crosses the Jordan into the land. As I've said previously, it is a kind of practical manual for a blessed life in the land. The gift of the land was undeserved. Israel received the land through no merit on her part. The directions of Deuteronomy, however, spell out for Israel how it must live in the land in order to experience its blessings to the fullest. If Israel follows these instructions, life will be good. If Israel ignores these instructions and instead of following the God of the Exodus, begins to worship other gods, or if Israel disregards the commands to take care of the weaker brother or sister, then life in the land will be a disaster. Or to put it more bluntly, Israel will die from the land and be expelled from it. The latter chapters of Deuteronomy assume the worst. Chapter 29 speaks of God's passion and anger smoking against the people. The land will be devastated, with a destruction so great that other nations will wonder, why has the Lord done this to the land? The answer of Deuteronomy is clear. It is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. They turned and served other gods, worshiping them, gods whom they had not known and whom he had not allotted to them. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against that land, bringing on it every curse written in this book. The book fully assumes that, despite Israel's good intentions, when all is said and done, the people of Israel will forget their God and the way of God and go their own way. It is difficult to imagine a more pessimistic and gloomy look into the future. But that is not Deuteronomy's last word, nor God's final action. This is not capital punishment. There is hope. Deuteronomy chapter 29 is followed by chapter 30. As chapter 29 projected, Israel is dispersed among the nations, suffering because the people had disregarded Moses' instructions. But that is not the focus. Even in exile, Israel is told, they can return to the Lord their God and obey Him. Israel is assured that when that happens, and it will happen, God will restore their fortunes and have compassion on them and gather together the scattered people from where they have been exiled and return them to the promised land. They will become more prosperous and numerous than their ancestors. At that point, God will write His law on their hearts so that they will love God and observe His teachings. Wow, what a turnaround! And what a positive picture of the future! And here we thought Deuteronomy was a pessimistic book. Actually, neither word, pessimistic or optimistic, quite fits. Deuteronomy has a profound sense of the tendency of us human beings to mess up, to go our own way, to forget and ignore God. That inevitably leads to pain and disaster. But at the same time, Deuteronomy has an unshakable confidence in the mercy and compassion of God. Even in exile, when experiencing the consequences of their sin, the people will experience God at work, moving them to respond to God in a new way. Our God still has that nature and desire. May we experience God moving us to love God and walk in His way. And may God's mercy and compassion be a model for the way we treat those around us. Amen.
Gloria in excelsis Deo.
That was Gloria, sung by the CMU Singers. David Balser is no stranger to CMU, having graduated from one of the founding colleges and having worked with Family Life Network. David is a member of the North Kildonan Mennonite Brethren Church and was recently appointed to the position of Instructor in Communications and Media. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
What is your vision for this role, instructor in communications and media?
Well, that's not a small question, I would say, but I have to begin where God begins, and that is when, for some amazing and creative reason, God spoke the world into existence. And ever since the beginning of that moment, I've been fascinated by communication. And so my vision for this role and this program is really rooted in that creative moment when God said, "Let there be light." I am privileged and delighted to steward communication and to coach students and to say, what does it mean for us to tell our story, to tell God's story in the world?
You're teaching, what, 4 courses this year?
Yes.
Can you give us the titles of those courses to give us some concrete idea of what you're doing?
Introduction to Communications and Media. What are the questions we ask in this discipline? Oral communication or public speaking is another one. Group communication. So many people feel that they don't like group work. Well, we're going to tackle that one and say, how do we work together creatively? And then the last one is theories of communication media, which is just a course about how do we look at this phenomenon.
Very important, this last question. Sunday at CMU is a radio program that we've been running now for some time, almost from the beginning. And this is my last Sunday, and next Sunday will be your first. What do you think about taking on this? Do you have a vision even for this small program?
I'm simply delighted to have this space every Sunday morning to join you here, to meet God, to meet each other, to consider God's ways in the world through the life of Canadian Mennonite University. And I think, George, that people over the last several months have been privileged to be welcomed into this space by you, and they will miss you, and I trust that they will delight and get to know me.
Thank you very much for being with us this morning, David, and all the best. You are invited to the CMU Homecoming event held on September 25th and 26th. For more information regarding many other events at CMU, check your church bulletin and the CMU website. And you may listen anytime to the program by following the links on the CMU website, cmu.ca. Or you can also call us toll-free at 1-877-231-4570. In Winnipeg, call 487-3300. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, R3P2N2. Or you may email us at sunday@cmu.ca. That's our program. I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education at CMU. On a personal note, I have appreciated serving as host of this program for the last 4 months. Next Sunday, David Balser will take over as host. And until next Sunday, may God bless and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.